Hello and welcome back to another episode of On the Spodcast. I'm your normal host, Tim. Evan, sadly, at this time, has a bunch of homework, which is understandable because we're nearing the end of the semester. But I'm joined here today with
Josh, new member this semester. A rookie, one would say. But yeah, we are here.
Heck yeah. It's been really late on getting any of the newbies on, but that is a-okay because it's better late than never.
That's right. Well, I'm a bit of a avid listener, as some yes. people on the team may know. You know, I listen to everyone this semester. You know, I've always been like interested on like in being in a podcast, you know. So like it's exciting stuff. I'm glad to be here. So
yeah. Heck yeah, I'm glad to have you on. Is there any particular episode or moment that you've listened to that was that stuck out to you?
Goodness. Well, recently I listened to the one where you tried all the sparkling. What was it, LaCroix?
Yeah.
With Patrick. That was that was not what I expected.
It wasn't what I expected either, but honestly, it took that route, and I was really glad it did, because it was honestly a really fun time.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh. Yeah, go right ahead. Cool. But yeah, honestly, probably just interrogate you a little bit, just because that's kind of what they did with me when Evan and I were first on the podcast episode with Zach.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I guess, what was the... We'll just start with the newbie party. That's a good starting point. How was that for you?
That was interesting. Fun fact, I mean, none of the authorities need to hear this or whatever.
Nope. There is, yep.
But I am 21 years of age, and that was my first time drinking. So that was interesting, but it was a good time. It was fun, and I don't know. I didn't expect like that whole day to be like as fun and I guess inviting as it was. Like I think that was really like, not like I had any bad assumptions going in or whatever, but that was like really reassuring. It was just like, this is a team.
It's when I first started, I was a junior, so there was like that age sort of gradient. But when I got on, since I was already a little bit into college, it didn't really feel that that weird to me, because I'd been around like some people who were getting like in their later years in college. But how did that feel coming in as a freshman? Did that affect anything?
That's a good question. I mean, it definitely feels weird to like having not known that, like, you know, basically there's so many people like graduating. Like, I mean, Nate's graduating this semester, so many people are graduating next semester. So it's like, I guess I didn't know. And it's interesting. It's cool though, to be connected to like people that, you know, you wouldn't be connected with like in any way, you know, anywhere else on campus. Like just being able to connect with people of different ages and different like majors, backgrounds is cool. But
And everybody's got really different like majors and lots of different like hobbies and interests, but it's really cool when everyone comes together to perform improv, which is just sort of just random thoughts just put on a stage, which is honestly really, that's why I really like it. What sort of made you hop into improv? Was it some connections that you already had?
That's fair. To put it simply, but it's interesting. Well, because I always get asked this question by like people in band and whatever. They're like, oh, like, I wouldn't expect you to do improv. I'm like, yeah, I didn't think I would either.
Same here. I don't know.
It was definitely because I knew like Patrick, Nate, Jay, like all those guys coming in, and I guess all like my last semester, senior year, whenever I talked to them, they'd be like, oh, when you come to K-State, you got to join the improv team, you know. I was like, okay. I was like, hey, you know, it doesn't conflict with what I got going on, like, in terms of my nights and stuff, so why not? Let's give it a shot. And, you know, I understand that there was probably a reasonable amount of bias involved in my spot on the team, because I am by no means like the best improviser in the world, you know, like by no means and by a long shot. But I think it's really cool to learn, and like I have a lot of room to grow, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I'm excited to see where it goes.
But, oh yeah, know, I think yeah. like just from like a beneficiary standpoint, improv is so strong in working with social skills,
mm-hmm.
like even just past like their creativity and all that stuff, just the ability to like go out and like speak in front of all of these different people, and then going on stage and then doing that in front of all the crowd and stuff. I've noticed over the past year I've become a lot more extroverted because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, it obviously happens subtly, but definitely consistently got a lot more extroverted. And that's honestly one of the biggest reasons why I like it too, is because just like all the social aspects that I've gained from it is just really fun. And the creativity outlet is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely feel it when you don't have a show or a workshop. Oh my god, over Thanksgiving break I was at home with family and stuff, and I would just say just like the goofiest crap,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, oh, I haven't had improv this week, and my brain is like loaded right now.
Yeah,
which is random crap.
I know we've had, like, one of the times we went to B's, we had an interesting conversation about that, where it's like, you just, like, who was it? Patrick was talking about, like, he was showing us the videos of, like, the faces he was doing yeah. over COVID, like,
yeah.
before they joined the team, like, and this is now just, like, their outlet for mm-hmm. that, which I think, I never, like, thought about it like that before, but, I mean, when I think, yeah, like, I could start to see that in myself, like, once they said that, I was like, yeah, I'd be doing some stupid stuff when I'm not, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I used to, like, I'd be one of those guys who, like, if I was home alone, I'd be talking to myself, like, if mm-hmm. I was, like, doing chores or whatever, just having, like, these silly conversations or whatever, and then, like, at that time, I didn't even know improv was, like, a thing, mm-hmm. and then getting on improv, you're like, wait a minute. It has a use. I can do yeah. something with these words and whatever. But yeah, oh my god, improv.
Yeah, I found it to be a really, it I don't know exactly how I want to say this, but it's just definitely something I didn't like expect, but in like a really good way. Like, I quickly learned, like, going to the shows and stuff. Like, I'd never been to an improv show. Like, I didn't really know what it was about until like this semester, mm-hmm. which is like pretty crazy. But like, coming to one, I realized, like, I don't know, the improv, especially our team, is just like, yeah, it's like a really like accepting place where like everybody can like laugh and have fun, but it's not at like the cost of anybody. And you know, it's like mm-hmm. it's really like a special kind of form of comedy that, like, I don't know, you just don't get in many other places, really, mm-hmm. which I think is special, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, notice, and but I think that's the cool, one of the, probably, there's a lot of cool things about it, and it's really hard to order, mm-hmm. but another big part is, like, you instantly have, like, a group of people that you can, like, call upon for, like, whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I also really like about the club, is that they're also really, they do a lot of things outside of just improv. Like, even outside of the club-sponsored activities, like going to Chicago and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people will be like, hey, we're going to play Jackbox tonight and just hang out. Go and do that. Like, do homework. Like, hey, we're going to the Union. Mm-hmm. Just want to meet up. Whatever it is. Like, it's awesome. Because you essentially gain, like, a whole group of friends.
Right.
Which is so fun.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. That's another, like, really cool benefit of it. Like, I know Ashlyn's talked a lot about, like, you know, you're going to have, like, your team or whatever at some point where, like, you all, like, hang out. She said, like, at one point, like, I guess when, like, Zach was on the team, or to be honest, I'm not too familiar with, like, all the alumni. Which,
yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, but she said, like, weekend. Oh, I forgot about that. Go ahead.
But yeah, she basically just said, like, they would schedule classes together and, like, go to the Union, like, all the time. But, you know, I see that like reflected now, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, oh yeah. So. Oh yeah. What did you think of your first show?
Which first show? Ooh, like what kind of first show?
I guess your first full one where you were also in the long form. I think that's like the truest first show. Okay.
I was trying to piece it together. Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. well, I didn't come in the long form. At least, like, I did like a swipe, but I don't know. I had a ton of ideas, and like, I will say, I learned a lot about that. Like, I reflected on it. I was like, okay, why didn't I go in? Like, I had ideas. I was like, you know, my problem is not like the idea. Like, I reflected on what ideas I had. I was like, no, those were, like, fine ideas. Like, it's just I didn't commit. So I think, like, even if it wasn't a really successful thing for me, like, in my mind, like, it was a really beneficial learning experience in terms of, like, improv skill.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, now that I'm, like, you know, this isn't a joke anymore. Like, I'm actually doing it. I mean, you know, it's a club. It's not, like...
Right.
Life or death, but exactly, you know, right. It's like, okay, now that, like, you know, I'm really doing this, like, I just need to do it. I just need to commit, you know. I can't be like, it's part of it. So
oh yeah, that's definitely that's like the final piece, is being able to, so you have all your knowledge and how to do things and like that sort of thing, but just committing to it is like, that's like the step, like you can learn all the basics, but that's like the step that takes just the longest, because like to this day, like there are times where I'm like, oh come on, go, and then like I've gotten better to like actually like going out, but what I've started to do recently was kind of sort of I've gotten sort of back into like not a great way of doing it, but just thinking about characters where that are needed in certain scenarios. So like a lot of times I'll sort of pigeonhole myself and I'll wait for like a certain thing to happen before my idea can like go in. But then if that happens, or if that key point doesn't come into play, then you're just sort of stuck. And I think sort of getting back away from that and sort of just, then that just comes back to listening and just going with the flow with it and then committing whenever you see that opportunity, just going for it. But the fact that you were, that you cut in that first long form is huge, because I never know when to cut. I'm so bad at that. I never do it, hardly. I'm just like, all right, someone please cut.
Well, it's just like, you're just like sitting there being like, oh, like, do they want to continue the scene? Are they going to be mad at me later? Like, you know, like, I'm but I guess at that moment I really knew he was right, and then like Tess and I were talking afterward and she was like, yeah, I was gonna cut if you weren't, so thanks for cutting. I was like, no problem. But
I think there's like a general like thought process that if you sort of feel like there's doubt or like a stopping point within a scene, there's probably a few other people who are feeling that same thing. Because you could kind of tell where it's like, oh, there's that point. Should probably do it. And that, honestly, that feeling comes with practice, but it is a pretty easy one to catch on to, really. Yeah. But,
I guess I feel like I just have this thought, like, if that goes back to the idea of just, like, yeah, you just got to commit.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the more I talk about this, the more I realize, like, yeah, like, improv is just kind of about, like,
committing to the bit.
Like going for it, you know, like no idea is like particularly a bad idea. I mean, well, but yeah,
right, yeah. But yeah, a little asterisk there, but yeah.
But yeah, I think the point is across.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's see what else has happened recently. Is there anything? I've been completely scatterbrained today, and
well,
let's see.
We didn't have a show on Monday, that's for one.
Yeah, it's true. Kind of sad. Yeah. I wanted that. But well, I'm hosting the next one, the one on Monday.
Okay.
I
did not know that.
A little secret that I'm going to drop on this episode. I think I'm going to do like a Hallmark Christmas theme.
Okay.
So like we'll dress up as, or like the theme, dress theme will be like sweaters or Christmas sweaters, mm-hmm. or things you'll see people in a Hallmark movie with.
Sure.
And then do some games around that. And then going to do the workshop on Thursday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Probably going to do like an accent and like voice sort of workshop. So
interesting.
A little nugget for anyone who listens to this within the next 24 hours. And if you don't, well, you'll find out tomorrow if you're on the team. But yeah. Oh, huge one coming up, obviously, Chicago trip. How are you feeling about that?
I'm very excited. I was really worried that my like band bowl trip was going to conflict with that, but I don't think it's going to conflict. Like I don't think any of the potential bowls, or like the one, actually I don't think I'm allowed to say that, but I probably shouldn't say that, but basically the point is I think I'm going to be able to come, and that's really exciting. But
nice.
Well, nice. What was your experience like last year? What did you think of it?
It is very cold. Extremely cold. But going in there, we rode the train down through or from Union Station in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and or the Amtrak. And that is honestly a really nice ride. It's like 6 hours or something. But you can walk around the train. Have you been on
an Amtrak? I've never been on a like legit train, no.
Yeah, it was my first time as well. But they have an observatory cart where all these windows and tables are there. So we all like posted up there and like played board games and stuff.
Nice.
They had like a cafeteria like beneath that where you could get food. So that was really nice. And then, yeah, but getting there, it was so freaking cold. Mm-hmm. So I do recommend bringing like extra like long underwear or like hand warmers. Like I brought 2 packages of hand warmers, and I always had like 6 of them like going, like, one in each hand, one in each pocket, and like one like or couple somewhere else.
Somewhere else in air quotes.
Yeah, I didn't really mean it like that, but let's see. The Airbnb is really cool. The one we stayed in was like you had your living room at the end, and then there's this really long hallway.
Mm-hmm.
It was really narrow, and we had a kitchen in the back, 1 bathroom.
Oh, I've heard about this a little bit.
All these different people, a few different bedrooms, but the hot water ran out very quickly. So short showers for pretty much everybody. But yeah, you have the day pretty much already planned out ahead of you. We were right next to a, what are they called? Tramp? Or I don't know what they're called. Ooh, Subway?
Oh, yeah, Subway, yeah.
But, like, this one is above ground. I don't know.
Streetcar kind of thing?
Yeah. It's still, like, the Subway, but it just ran above. So I don't know if it has a different name or not, but Subway. We rode that quite a bit. It was my first time in Chicago, and I was, or second time, but the first time was kind of like a cheatsy little trip, but it was my first time, and I was glad that we had Braden's, girlfriend, Christina, cause she goes to school there. And so she like guided us a bunch of different places, and it was really nice being in a group, because there were some times where there were some people that were kind of sketch on the subways, but other than that, walking around is really fun. We got to do a bunch of different things, go to a bunch of different stores, check out a bunch of different like things like the Bean. We got to go to a couple different improv shows. Those are really cool, seeing like professionals go at it.
Mm-hmm.
The one at Second City was really cool, but it felt like it was improv, I think. Or it may have been, I don't know. It just didn't feel like the same kind of improv that we'd normally practice.
Yeah.
And then we went to a different theater where it was much more like close.
Mm-hmm.
The rooms were smaller, and that felt a lot more like what we did, and that was really fun. And then we got to do a workshop with a professional improviser, and that was really interesting as well. But Chicago, it's a fun time. Did a lot of goofy things as well. Ate a lot of cool restaurants. It's a fun time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it this year? Like three days or so?
Yes. 4 days? I think so. I think we're there for...
It's like 5th to 8th, right?
Yeah. I think we arrive early the 5th, like earlier in the day maybe. And then we have those 3 days, and then I think we leave like late afternoon the 8th or so.
Gotcha.
I think that's how it works. But yeah, it's a good time. Yeah, we've got the alumni show this weekend.
Yeah.
Next spring, we got those festivals.
Yeah.
Those are a fun time. Yeah. A whole lot of improv stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know second semester kind of ramps up a little bit. Yeah. So.
There's like a 6 week period where it's like those weekends where the festivals hit, there's just not a whole lot of sleep going on. days. Oh my goodness. We had a 10-hour drive to Muncie, Indiana. And we drove down Friday morning. We performed, I think. And then, what did we do? I don't even remember. We performed, and then the next day we did, like, workshops and stuff. And then we had a party, and then we left at, like, 9 in the morning the next day. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So, that was kind of brutal. But I don't know if this is true, but I heard rumors that we were going to get invited to Ohio State, but that's even farther. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. But yeah, those are really fun to get to see a lot of other teams and meet a lot of other different improvisers and just do a lot of silly stuff.
No, I'm interested to, I don't know, like see what kind of journey improv takes me on. It's like cringy mom poster as that sounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's very... Because I feel like, I mean, Ashlyn joined when she was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like a reasonable amount of people that I know on the team did not join when they were, like, new to college. So I feel like it's, like, having this, like, kind of become, like, part of my identity in a weird way is, like, exciting. And, like, I'm interested to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. And since you're starting early, you get to really get the whole nine yards of the experience.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see several people join up. You'll go through several different, like, what do you call it? Audition processes,
right.
And like all sorts of like hosting and things like that. Yeah. It's so much deeper than I originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when I just randomly auditioned and got on, and then like that first few workshops, I was like, holy shit, you guys do so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing, and it's definitely the one of the premier clubs of K-State, if I do say so myself. Like, it's a great time.
I mean you're not like, I know there's a little bit of, you know, facetiousness in there per se, but like I you're not really wrong though. Like I'll tell people like, oh yeah, I'm on the improv team, or they're like, oh my, you're on the improv team, like,
yeah.
Da, 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 you're on the spot. I'm like, I'm a celebrity, man. Like, what the fuck? Like,
there's kind of like a cult following for it. It's hilarious.
No, seriously though, there's a guy I sit next to in my math recitation who like just goes every week, and he's like, I don't know, he just like started connecting with me because of it, and it's I don't know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I do say it's like one of the best clubs, but obviously you do have to audition. But I do want to say that we do want people to repeat auditions,
because
it's like, I mean, it's hard letting people go, or not letting people go, but not picking them for the team.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is it's like getting on your first time is like practically unheard of. And like, I don't know how I got on the first time. Like, anybody who got on the first time probably will say the same thing. Like, how did I get on this first time? Like, what? I didn't even know what the hell I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to realize that once you get like a little bit of feedback, then you can sort of like train whatever area that you may have been critiqued on, and then you can come back a lot stronger. But Yeah, no, definitely. If, yeah, I think everybody should at least like try it out, like just an audition, like just to see, like, because I had no idea that I wanted to do it until I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, how did you, like, did you go to shows? I probably dumb question. Did you go to shows before you auditioned? Like,
My freshman year, one of my roommates was in K-State Culture, and he had to go to one of their shows, and I went with him. Same with like a few other people.
Yeah.
And when I went, the whole place was packed.
Really?
It was actually kind of crazy. I was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
This is insane. And I don't remember who was performing. But
I mean, I don't blame you.
Yeah, was a couple years ago. Yeah, I think I went to like one other show, and then that semester, and then completely forgot about it because COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of, I completely forgot about it. And then I had an intro to acting class last fall, and one of my professor Jerry J. Mm-hmm. In the theater department, he was like giving out some announcements or whatever. He's like, oh yeah, on Thursday On the Spot's having auditions. And I was like, is that improv group from freshman year? And I was like, you know what, that sounds kind of cool. And so I went and auditioned, and then I got a call back. Was not expecting that. Got a call back, and then just went in and performed. I remember I had a scene about this bean burrito stand. And the whole bit was just like, just saying beans in like a really like silly voice, but like we were both doing it, so yeah. It was pretty entertaining. But and then get on the team, and you're like, excuse me,
yeah.
I did like two shows in theater in high school. What am I doing here at improv? Like,
I know.
How did I get here?
I mean, like, I feel like that's an interesting thing. I could talk a decent amount about is like. I don't know, I've really told too many people about this, but like there's like a serious amount of imposter syndrome like I have like on this team.
Oh, insane. You know,
like
insane.
Like I especially in the first like couple times I was there, I was like, dude, like why am I here? Like not that I didn't like it, but it was
right.
Like
it's like how did I get
like,
here, you know?
You know, mm-hmm. People like Braden and Ashlyn are just like it just and Morgan, you know, I could name everybody, but it's like when I think of like the older team members and stuff, I just think of how crazy it is, like how experienced they are and how it comes like second nature to them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. And then like, yeah, I'm just sitting here like again like hesitating or you know whatever, or but I guess that's kind of the part of being a newbie, being
mm-hmm.
the guy who's figuring things out. But
oh yeah,
you know,
oh yeah, I felt extreme imposter syndrome that first semester because I was like, these people like me? Like what?
Yeah.
But yeah, they do. It like in all honesty, it's like yeah, for sure. And like I still there are times like where I'll be like, oh man, that was I don't know. It's gotten a lot better though just because of time.
Mm-hmm.
It helps when you get a lot closer with the team. But that first semester, I was like, yeah, so you appreciate my humor? Like, what? Yeah, it's actually, it's so crazy how powerful that feeling is. But, if you're on the team, people enjoy your improv 100%.
Yeah.
Like, and there's very, I mean, obviously there are ways you can like screw it up, but like
right.
In those ways, I mean, like are obviously like no go, like
mm-hmm.
boundaries and stuff.
Sure.
But if you say like if you just like be yourself and like do whatever improv that you like, people are gonna support it and go along with it, and they're gonna appreciate it.
Right.
Which is honestly a great feeling. And this same exact conversation is what Zach, the previous podcast host. When Evan and I are on it, he's like, yeah, dude, no, it's everyone, you're going to feel imposter syndrome 100%. But just know that everybody's going to be there to support, which is, whoa, that was awesome.
Yeah.
When he told me that, I was like, dang, okay.
I'm curious, enough. Did you, like, other than obviously just doing the, you know, the things that are part of the team, like the workshops and, you know, going on the trips and getting feedback that way, like, have you read much on improv, or like, have you like done personal research into like, like, you know, quote unquote improving like skill or whatever?
Not actually a whole lot. I've sort of just it's sort of just been like learning through experience. And I actually really haven't done that much research or reading into it very much. The workshops combined with just the shows, combined with like the every once in a while outside like workshops, like the one in Chicago, right, or the festivals, working with all those other people, you sort of, you gain enough knowledge, I think, to where you can be a really good improviser. Obviously, you can definitely do a lot of, do some research, read those books, and that would definitely be beneficial. I don't know why I haven't read those. I think those would be actually really interesting to learn about, because like the theories that are in those books are actually like really applicable in certain scenarios. And I think learning about those could help you like analyze and do improv in a sort of different way. But I kind of just like have just been freehanding it, just because it's sort of just been like a really fun thing to do, and I don't necessarily like want to not necessarily like not do it because I don't want to get better, but just because I got a lot of things going on.
that question was in no way like meant to be a jab.
No, I didn't take it as that, but I don't know. This sort of just been like something, it's sort of like a hobby for me, I guess. And that hobby I share with other people. And I've never really felt the need to read anything, because just what people have, other people have said, I've been like, wow, that's really interesting. So it's sort of like fulfilled, like that learning itch for improv.
Yeah. I guess I just wondered, cause like they handed those books like kind of at the beginning of the semester, or like, I think it was Ashlyn and Morgan's book. Eventually I'm gonna have to give it back, so we're gonna have to know whose book it is.
That's fair, but
it's just been like sitting on my shelf, and I just like felt guilty. But so I guess it's like, it's good to know that, like, yeah, I mean, like you said, like, yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. It's hard to make time, or like, you know, I guess I'm not a big reader in general. I'm really not. I want to be, but not.
Back in the day, like middle school, I would read all the time, but now I don't read too often anymore, so I think that might be a little part of it. I don't know.
No, but I, yeah, it's just, I guess it's interesting to hear that perspective and know, like, yeah, like you don't have to be like crazy into it if you don't want to, if that's not what you want it to be for you,
right?
You know, and I guess that's valuable for me to hear.
Think getting on towards graduation next semester for me, I think the club as a whole has been less about improv for me and more about just the people and just being around these people, because as of now and till I can see myself like being friends with all these people for like years. And I think now it's sort of more just like getting like deeper connections with these people and like just maintaining that friendship versus like becoming a better improviser. That's sort of like how I'm looking at it right now. But I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to do it either, because if you're more about the improv side of it, like the people are still going to be there and it's going to be a great time either way. So I think whatever you focus on, it's all going to turn out pretty good, honestly, because it's just built in such a way to where it's like, you can do all of these improv activities, but you can also hang out with all these people outside of that too.
Right.
So I think it's got like a really good balance going.
Yeah. I've, I think it's cool that you can make it what you want it to be for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Ah, improv. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was I got a little deeper than I was
interested. I'm sure you remember this, but early on there was an episode of Evan and I. We were just talking about like ancient Chinese philosophy.
Oh, dude, yeah, I was just listening was to like, that one.
How did we even get here? That's sort of the beauty of a podcast. You have an hour to fill and a lot of conversation to be had.
Yeah.
I think a branch. What is that on my? Ew. Gross. I need a vacuum, I guess. Just a random outside question.
Sure.
What would be, typically this is saved for the end, but I found that it really generates a really good conversation. We always go like 15 minutes past an hour if we start with it that late.
Sure.
But what would be like a good movie or like album recommendation or book recommendation or anything that you've seen that you'd recommend?
Okay.
To just anybody.
Yeah, I was awaiting this question because you know I've been listening. And you know me, the band guy. You know I So I have a music is definitely where I take my inspiration for like a recommendation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can give some like some recent ones, like I'm a bit of a Brockhampton fan.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So like they released two new albums, pretty decent. I think the most recent one they released, like, what was it last week is decent, but I think the one they released before that, I'm personally a fan of, I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews. I don't know if you're familiar with Fantano.
I can't say I am.
Okay. He's just like a music reviewer on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
And he was just like, apparently he didn't give it too good of a rating, but you know,
ouch.
It's all subjective.
It is all subjective.
And then I have a bit of a deep cut for you.
Oh, okay. Yes, I like deep cuts.
So earlier this semester, I don't know, I just kind of, I was inspired by, we played, do you know the song Love Song by Sarah Bareilles?
Yep.
So we played that in one of our marching shows, so I was like, whatever, like, let's just, like, see what Sarah Bareilles got, and the way I do, like, the way I look into artists is I just, like, start very first album, and I just, like, go, like, I like to listen to the whole discography, so I went to her first album, and, like, it is a kind of a banger, man, like, I've never nice. Heard, it's, like, it's different, it's, like, almost, like, musical-esque in a way, but it's, like, I don't even know what kind of genre, it's definitely, like,
I like that, though, that's cool.
Yeah, it's, like, definitely, like, pop, but, like, I don't know. It hits a little different for you listeners out there.
Anybody, I'm gonna add it.
It's called. I mean, I don't know if it's your kind of music, but it's called.
Hey, I am willing to try anything. When I'll get into that in a second.
It's called "Careful Confessions" by Sarah Bareilles. Very. It's an interesting one. I can't say I like the entire album, but
right.
You know,
yeah, Yeah, I feel like that's pretty normal.
Yeah,
I suppose. Like, myself, I haven't personally, before I got into improv, I had a very limited, I wasn't, like, that guy who, like, sought out music a ton. I would, like, hear a song in the radio or whatever and be like, oh, that's a really cool song, and I'll add it.
Right.
But I was never that guy to, like, search for different things.
Sure.
And so I was always kind of behind on, like, new, like, music trends and stuff. But after I got into improv, definitely started listening to a lot more music because we have a lot of, like music lovers for sure.
Yeah.
100%. And, I think the biggest epiphany for me was we were driving back from, Columbia, that trip, that festival. And I was riding back with Owen and Evan. Yeah. Owen and Evan. And Owen played Chocolate by the 1975. And for those of you, and I'm sure a lot of people know this by now because I make it really obvious, yeah, I freaking love the 1975. But that was the first time that I, like, and it took me a long time because I listened to Chocolate and I was like, wow, this is a really good song.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, past some time, Jay, when their newest album came out, Jay was like, "You should totally listen to this song because I know you like the 1975." And I was like, "Or I know you like the song Chocolate, so you check this out." And I was like, "Okay." And that was the first time that I had actually started from the beginning, listened to the album all the way through, found a bunch of songs I liked, did the second one, then I listened to that newest album, and I was like, "Oh my god, oh my god, that was the first time, like, the first time I'd ever done that," and I was like, "This is amazing. Why don't I do this more often? You can find so much good music out there," and like, in that newest album, God, I don't think there's a song in there I don't like, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than the 1975, the song I would recommend is Eminence Front by The Who. Okay. It's a classic rock it's like a classic psychedelic rock from, I don't know, the 70s maybe. And that was my most played song on the Spotify Wrapped.
I was going to say, that's a little bit of a related topic here. Spotify Wrapped came out today.
Yeah. I love Spotify Wrapped. It's so interesting. What?
I was going to say, we can go ahead and go through that. Why not?
I completely forgot. This is this is great. Oh my God.
Yeah. This is something.
Jeez.
Oh my goodness. Whoopsies.
Let's see.
Yeah, it takes a second. You know, we're really, like, not fulfilling anybody's dreams here. I mean, everybody sees the Wrapped on the Snapchat stories.
Yeah, and we're going to shamelessly share ours.
Yeah. Okay, you want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. So, top artists, we got Kanye, of course. That's a bit of Josh. Hers, I don't know if you've heard of that band.
Oh, maybe.
Jay always, like, has something to say about that, but whatever.
I think I do. Mm-hmm.
Then Tyler the Creator, Magdalena Bay, and fifth is Grant Perez, which is maybe something you haven't heard of, but it's just kind of,
I haven't, no.
Yeah. And my top song, this makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah,
my top song is I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith. Like that, like, soft, like, sad.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah, yeah. That's, like, a good one.
I don't know how that's my top song. I swear.
That,
like,
is funny.
But, yeah, then a song called Lovers Rock. My Heart It Beats For You, I'll Try. And a remix song called 16 Missed Calls. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
There you go, folks.
For me, my top artist was, I mean, obviously the 1975. When I found that, because that was in, like, that was back in, like, October, where I just started listening to them all the time. And
this October?
Yeah. And so that kind of goes to show how much I listened to them if they made it to the top artists.
Yeah.
But 1975, then Kanye, then Powerwolf.
not familiar with
a little
Powerful.
Bit of context. I really like, I had a metal phase in high school where I listened to a lot of metal, and then at some point I discovered this band called Sabaton, which they're in a genre called historical metal.
Yeah.
And so they sing about, like, ancient battles and stuff, or like wars and things like that. And I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. Because they have really heavy instrumentals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not like overly metal. It's not overly heavy or anything like that. And then from there, I discovered Powerwolf, which I think the genre is, what is it? Like epic metal or something like that.
Epic metal.
Where it's just like,
interesting.
It's like the, it's like the type of, it's a type of music, and it's sort of got, like, religious undertones, but the band themselves, they're, like, it doesn't have, like, any, like, they're not trying to, like, spread, like, Satanism or anything like that, or, like, Christianity. There's a lot of, like, stuff like that, or imagery that they use, but it's got really, like, heavy or, like, epic guitar, like, intros and, like, drums and stuff, and I freaking love it.
Interesting.
But number four is The Who. which is really funny because the only song I listen to from The Who is Eminence Front.
Wow.
Yeah, and then 5 is Imagine Dragons, which kind of, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get some hate for
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know about that one.
The only, okay. They have like 2 songs that I really like, but I just have other random songs that I haven't. They're just in my playlist. They're on shuffle. They just play.
Yeah.
Top songs: Eminence Front by Who, Fade by Kanye. I heard that at Nate's house one time, and I was like, "Oh my god, this bass guitar! I'm hooked. I'm literally hooked." Borderline by Tame Impala.
Yeah, Tame Impala. That's a good one.
Up All Night, which I don't remember who that's by.
Is that the Oh,
Widespread Panic. That's who it's by.
Not who I was thinking of.
Zach Perez showed me the song. And then 5, Chocolate by 1975. I'm surprised they don't have more 1975 songs in there. But
How many minutes?
27,757.
Oh, I had 28,000. What do you know?
Nice.
Interesting.
Top genre is pop. I listen to a lot of pop.
Mine was also pop. So.
Yeah. I like pop. It feels good to listen to when you get that right song. Just like that high tempo. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I was going to... Sorry.
No, I was done. Okay.
I was going to say, interesting little thing. When you were mentioning like the Imagine Dragon stuff, I was like, you know, what am I trying to say here? I guess my whole point is like, yeah, I've started like discovering music that like people typically deem as like bad or is like typically like not liked or whatever.
Yeah.
Like and in weird ways too. Like, okay, this is very odd, but I think it was today actually. You know, you're at the dining hall at K-State, right? So what do they play? They play country music.
Yep.
And traditionally, you know, I'm from Lenexa, Kansas, like, you know, that's pretty very suburban, mm-hmm. like non country kind of area, I guess, if you will. And so like people from around there are always like, oh, country music bad, whatever. But like, I don't know if I'm just being like programmed by like how much I have to like hear it, or if like or if some of it's like actually good. Like, okay, some of it I don't like, but mm-hmm. like I will say I genuinely don't like, but I don't know, like I'm just starting to become more accepting of it, honestly.
Yep. Yeah, I have a really love-hate relationship with country because I grew up in Concordia, which is, and that's a really rural town, like, well, not really, but I had 69 in my graduating class, so it's not that small, right. But it's small enough to where country is probably going to be your dominant genre.
Right.
That and, rap. But the reason why there are a lot of country songs that I do like,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is that the people who listen to them a lot, I didn't like those people. Like they were like the big, like souped up trucks, like mullet. I'm like, so I was like, it wasn't like me trying to dissociate with them. It's just like, it just sort of like ruined the imagery for me because we had like, we didn't have like the chill country folk. We had like a lot of like silly ass dudes.
Yeah. I mean,
but
that makes sense. I can definitely relate like to that at my school. Cause even being from like their very suburbia kind of area, there were still kids who had the lifted trucks and like who, I think at some point, like there were kids who had like the flags, like,
yep,
attached to the back of the truck, which is like, mm-hmm. that's some commitment.
Yeah,
I mean, that's cool. You know, if that's what you want to do, you could go right ahead.
I'm not gonna stop you.
But I totally like get what you mean when you're saying like it ruins like the imagery that culture, I guess, in a way.
Yeah,
you know, for people who like aren't in it and people who just like are on the outside looking in.
Yeah. And this isn't a dig to like those who like country and those who are like country folk. Those are just like specifically that group of people that I knew.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying too. Yeah. Like whatever you believe or whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody can do what they want. Of course. It's just like,
it's just like, ooh, youch. Not quite it.
Yeah.
But What I was gonna say. Oh yeah, a quick correction. It's not epic metal. It's power metal for Powerwolf. Oh, okay. So yeah, just. But yeah, no, I'd honestly recommend checking it out. If you're, I love instrumental music. I think I have like a whole playlist on YouTube for like movie soundtracks and stuff, mm-hmm. like orchestra stuff and all sorts of stuff like that. On that I like listen to like when I'm doing homework and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just really nice because when there's words, it's kind of distracting.
Yeah,
for me personally, because if I know the song really well, I'm gonna like sing along to it, and then I'm not quite focusing as much anymore. But
right.
Oh yeah, instrumentals, love that stuff.
No, yeah, being in band, I mean, you get I feel like I guess I mean I jazz counts as instrumental music, mm-hmm. of course. Like yeah. I guess I don't know if that's something you knew about me. I guess, but I'm like in high school, I was like a huge jazz guy.
Ooh,
like
yeah.
My high school is, I guess, kind of known for being like a really good jazz school. Like a couple years ago we we made it into this competition. Like it's kind of weird because it's like it is a competition of 15 bands. It's called Essentially Ellington because Ellington is like a famous composer and whatever, but like you have to like compete and audition to get into the competition.
Oh,
like
wow.
That's yeah.
Wow.
Like it's a national thing, but dang. There's like 15 bands, yeah. And so what was it? The year before my senior year, so like 2 years ago, we made it there and it was really, really
wow.
cool.
That is amazing.
I was not in that band. but trust me, we were pretty good. But yeah, I guess my whole point is like, yeah, I can definitely dig with some instrumental music if you consider jazz instrumental music, which I suppose
I'd say it is. I don't know a whole lot about like music theory mm-hmm. and things like that, but as far as I know, it'd be pretty instrumental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My only sense of jazz music is from the movie Whiplash.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about the extent of my exposure to jazz, but I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's such a surprise to everyone when I say this, but I've not seen that movie. And it's not that I have any, like, necessary, like, certain things against it. I guess I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's some movies that kind of just haven't gotten around to see.
Yeah.
But that movie is very good.
It was
very tense, but holy crap, it's very rewarding to watch, mm-hmm. honestly.
I feel like that got brought up on another podcast episode, too.
Whiplash? I don't know, maybe.
I think it did. Maybe
perhaps.
With Jay.
Maybe. You know what? Jay may have actually said it when he was on.
Yeah, because I think they mentioned they all watched it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What instrument? You played the trombone?
Trumpet. You're
okay.
Good. You're good.
I was like, I don't know. I've never asked, and
yeah.
I've never heard anywhere around, so.
Yeah, I play the trumpet. Doing it since sixth grade kind of thing.
Ooh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, in middle school, I guess I started doing jazz band. Like, that's kind of the weird thing is, like, I guess with my middle school and high school, like, jazz band was just kind of like something that actually a lot of people did.
Oh yeah.
And so it's crazy when you come, it probably sounds ridiculous for me to say this, but like it was a big like shock for me to come here and like not have it be as big of a deal, because like I don't know, like I'll be straight honest, like, you know, the jazz program here is fine, like the professors are fine.
Yeah,
but like they're like, if you want to do jazz, you probably shouldn't go to K-State, like, honestly.
Yeah, like, I can see that being a thing.
Like, KU has a really, like, has a pretty good program. And then, I guess, I actually have a decent amount of, like, insight into, like, the jazz scene. Because two of my close friends from high school do jazz, like, play in collegiate jazz bands at KCKCC and UMKC.
Oh, yeah?
And,
wow.
Like, Kansas City, like, the city itself has a lot of, like, jazz history.
Mm,
so, like,
mm-hmm.
UMKC, for example, has, like, a really good program. And, like, same with KCKCC. Like, it's interesting how, like, the schools that you know, are closest to the city and where it was really brought up. I mean, like, yeah, those are the schools where there's the most, like, prestige and everything.
Did you, what was, like, your practice schedule, like, growing up with trumpet? How did you, stick with that so well? There obviously there's got to be a love for it, first and foremost. But was there any other, I don't know, I guess any other outside influences that kept you focused?
I don't know. It, like, I will say I really didn't start taking trumpet, like, and, you know, music in general, like, as seriously as I do now until, like, my senior year of high school, like, really. Like, that's when I got a lessons teacher. Like, that's when I really started, like, consistently practicing. I made, like, district and alternate for state and whatever and stuff. And so, I don't know. Yeah, it, I mean, it's definitely just, like, a, I think at that time, like, it definitely just came from wanting to do it, like, wanting to have a thing, so to speak, you know what I mean? Or, like, wanting to just be better. So I think that's where it came from, really.
Yep. I suffer the fate, as many other people do, when picking up an instrument for the first time without, or, like, just on their own purely. Looking at you, guitars. Because, like, my uncle gave me his acoustic guitar. And it's a pretty nice one. Not, like, crazy or anything, but, like, a good, nice, solid acoustic guitar. And I worked with it for, like, a few months. And then, because, like, when you're first starting out, you're like, wow, I'm doing something. And then you sort of hit that first major roadblock, and you don't really have, like, that guidance.
Yeah.
That you sort of kind of need, or you, like, either have that guidance or just, like, that innate tenacity to just, like, brute force it.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a whole, and, like, whole ass superpower, in my opinion, if you're able to just brute force something like that. But, yeah, I've been freaking trying to play this god dang guitar for so long, and it just keeps staring at me. But recently I've been picking it up, like, for an hour, like, try to do it every day for, like, an hour or so, maybe, like, half an hour or so, just to, like, get some practice down. But, yeah, those questions were kind of for me, where I was like, oh, how'd you do that?
Well, no, I mean, like, what kind of music inspires you to get better? Because I feel like, especially with guitar, a lot of where people's inspiration comes, you know, where it comes from is just, like, the music you hear.
So oh, yeah. The music I hear and the songs that really stick with me are, like, Eminence Front. Eminence Front has a lot of guitar and has a lot of, like, bass that are just played in such a way that if I were to, like, picture myself playing it, would just look like the most fun, like, ever. And, like, the Kanye West fade, like, that first few chords of bass that just comes in, I'm just like, holy crap, just, like, setting that up would be so fun. And, like, that Powerwolf music has a lot of, like, crazy guitar solos and stuff like that, where you're just like, wow, that would be freaking cool as hell. And so, but dang, like, in reality, it's like, in order to do that, you're gonna have to put in, like, some serious hours, because, like, that is pretty next level stuff. But that's gonna be probably a lifelong prospect, honestly. At some point, I'm gonna figure it out. But that's gonna be a while. But honestly, that's kind of cool, though. Like, that's what's really draws me to, like, instruments and stuff like that. It's like, you can do that for the rest of your life, and there's just infinite possibilities with every single one.
No, that's definitely what I've found when I've come here. It's like, I think I've had to accept, like, from my the transition from high school to here, where, again, it's like, in high school I took it, like, really, I started to take it, like, really seriously, and it, you know, it was, like, my main identity, like, with school was, like, band and doing that, and so I, you know, I dedicated all my time to it. I think what I've realized coming here is, like, you know, I do want to still do it. It's not something I want to give up, but, you know, there are other things start to take up your time, and you develop other interests, and so, yeah, I think it is just, like, developing it long-term, is like is great, but sometimes, you know, you not everybody can be the professional musician, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yep. In like, yeah, just like, yeah, at any point, if I was able to ever play just a one full song, like, really well, that'd be pretty satisfying for me. Obviously, I'd want to keep going, but yeah, just that first major, like, milestone would, like, want me to keep going, like, forever, honestly.
I think that's a very achievable goal.
It is, yeah. And with bass, with four strings, two less than six, the frets are bigger.
Two less than six. yeah.
It's I made the switch. I started with the guitar, went to electric guitar. I was like, I don't really have the finger dexterity right now, and I don't have the time to do that right now because class and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I was looking towards bass, and I was like, I really like the sound of bass. I really like the feel of it. The music, the songs that you can still play with it are practically the same as guitar.
Right.
And I was like, oh yeah, let's just do that. And I've had a lot of fun with it, so hopefully let's keep her going.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe I can put you in contact with one of my boys, one of my UMKC boys. He plays bass. I have another friend who plays bass at UCM, actually. Interestingly,
yeah, they would see my playing and go, wow, we got a lot of work here.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a process thing.
It is for sure.
I don't think the average person realizes until they try, like, yeah, it just takes so time. Like, that's, oh, yeah. I think that's kind of the whole point, is it just takes time, and mm-hmm. not everybody has that time. That's so okay.
True. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're batted out at an hour. Yep. So, typically, as you know,
yeah. you're a
number one fan and a part of the thing, so it's even better to have you here, but have a game of sex with.
Of course.
God, I'm so bad at sex with. It is probably one of my weakest suits.
My problem at least with like the on stage sex with is I'll have some like mid ideas like on stage, and then like literally like right after, maybe like 2 minutes after, I'll be like, oh, I should have said that, or oh, perfect, that idea could have been better if this, and I was like, oh.
Yeah,
but
I'll spend that whole time. They get the word. I'm like thinking. Finally get it. And then as soon as I'm like about to commit, someone walks up there, says the same thing or something similar enough to where I can't go up there. Because I'm like, oh, frick. All right. Well, I guess I would. Oh, that sucks. But, oh, man, I don't even know. Oh, I'm so bad at it.
Okay. Well,
ooh. Got a good word of suggestion for you.
Okay.
Jazz.
Jazz, yeah.
Playing jazz. Anything to do with jazz. Yep. There might be some moments of silence here because we're thinking. Let's see. Sex with me is like playing jazz. It's all in the wrists. I don't really get it, I said it.
That's applicable.
It is applicable.
That's a drum thing, maybe. That's a guitar thing, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking it's applicable in the sense that, how is that an innuendo? But if you use your imagination, it works.
God damn it.
You are on the spot.
Fucking sex with me is like jazz. You can pluck my chords.
I don't fucking know. Yes. Yes.
I was trying to think of some like chord progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, there you go.
Works for me. Well, any last parting words?
I don't think so. I'm just glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be a part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the kind of nerd that might listen back to my own episode. And you know what?
I don't blame you. I am also that same type of nerd.
So, yeah.
But, oh, yeah. Well, heck yeah. Glad to have you on here. Kind of sad that Evan had a bit too much homework, but completely understandable
yep.
given the current circumstances with class.
Yep.
So, yeah, with that being said, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you sometime next week because our schedule is highly irregular and kind of bad at planning. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. All
right. Peace out.
Peace.